That song has always been one of encouragement, but always has caused me to look at myself. Great song selection on tonight as we reflect upon the precious book, The Divine. And when we consider what we will talk about on tonight, I want us to think about growth requiring mercy. Growth requiring mercy. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse number 71, that it was good that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Affliction, trouble, heartache, pain, suffering, chastisement. It's good that I have been afflicted. You think about mercy. It's probably not a subject that people like to talk about, especially when they are the ones that need to show the mercy. They probably like talking about mercy when they are recipients of it, but not necessarily one who demonstrates it. Have you ever sinned against God to the point that you said, it is no way that he's going to forgive me for what I just did? Have you ever sinned against God in that manner? You beg for forgiveness, yet your conscience still bothers you. You plead with God, and your heart still ails you. You go to God, and it seems like your soul is still in distress. What great affliction. What great suffering. Yeah, she said, what does that feel like? I venture to say it's not a feeling that you really want to experience. Yet it is good that I have been afflicted that I may learn your statutes. Affliction, troubles, put us in a position to obtain and get help. Friends, we consider this great subject as it relates to the mercy of God and how the Bible teaches us in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12 that they that live godly shall suffer persecution. They shall suffer trouble, shall go through some heartache at times for doing that which is right, and noble, and just. But at times, we understand that time and chance happen to all men. Trouble enters into the life of all people. At times, people make decisions, sometimes us as Christians, that are furthest from the standard that has been given unto us. So we gird up our minds like soldiers of Christ. We look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We put on the whole armor of God, knowing that he's going to be there for us. You think about this word mercy as we continue this thought process. Mercy in the Old Testament comes from the Hebrew word chesed. Literally means loving kindness, piety, goodness, or just simply kindness. In the New Testament, the word is translated very succinctly this way. To help one that has been afflicted, suffering, one who is seeking aid, to bring help to the wretched, to have compassion upon, to have pity upon. I probably lost about 5% of you. Because it doesn't matter what group of people you talk to, you're always going to have those who don't have compassion and pity on people. Yet they are the very first ones that stand in line with Jehovah or before Jehovah desiring that same compassion and pity. Doesn't matter who you talk to. These are necessary, friends, to grow in the grace and in the mercy of God. Trouble is necessary as the people of God. Why? It helps us in times of trouble because troubles are necessary. In Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, if you notice those passages, and friends, we have a lot of passages to cover tonight. But in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, notice what your Bible there says. As the psalmist said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The one who has been afflicted, the one who is in trouble, the one who has separated themselves from God is the one that ought to be lifting up their eyes, hoping to find their way back to God. But when we consider this trouble, it helps us to think about mercy in a different way. For mercy is needed when punishment is deserved. If anyone in here understands that, it's those of us who have been children, yea, and are parents now. We understand that when we go to God and we deserve punishment, we are asking Him to be merciful unto us. Listen to this. We plead for Him to reduce the sentence or even allow us to go unpunished. That happens. We go to God and say, be merciful unto me. I've messed up. I'm sorry for what I've done. Yet, we must be a merciful people also. Listen to this. A person who is merciful is one who is willing to accept mercy, but also one who is willing to demonstrate the mercy. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So when we keep these things in mind, how does this help us to grow? Friends, when we understand our position before God, and when we understand our position before someone that we have transgressed against, it helps us to humble ourselves, whether before God or whether before our fellow man. Number one, mercy is shown by God. I love this section right here because it demonstrates to us the source of mercy. Even though mercy was shown before the construction of the mercy seat, we see this in Exodus 25, verses 17 through 22, with Joseph during the time of his mistreatment with his brethren, Genesis 39 and verse 21, we find it clearly given as an opportunity to offer and receive during the time of Israel. Hold on. Mercy was extended during the time of Joseph? Yes, it was. But we see God demonstrating this mercy in Exodus 25, and I want us to turn there and look at verses 21 and 22. I don't really have time to look at verses 17 through the end of that chapter, but here, notice verses 21 and 22 of Exodus chapter 25. Notice what your Bible there has to say. He says, you have put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And in the ark you shall put the testimonies that I will give you. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I give you in the commandment to the children of Israel. If you go back up to verse number 17 and read all the way down, he tells them how to form this mercy seat. Now God says, I'm going to meet you there. Think about that. When we go to God and we're asking Him for mercy, God is, in essence, meeting us right there. He's meeting us. But why could God do this? But Brian, He could do this because His very essence is mercy. In Exodus 34, 6 and 7, the Bible there teaches us that God is merciful. It's His character. It's his essence. This is who he is. He desires to be merciful. And in in Psalm 136, in all 26 verses, friends, you know what it says? God is merciful. Every single verse, it literally says, and his mercy endures forever. Friends, is this the God that you serve? Is this the God that we serve? I venture to say yes. Why? Because God is a merciful God. God here wants to let us go, if you will. He doesn't want to punish us. But because of his nature, he has to punish sin. But he still wants to let us off. It's amazing that he delights in mercy. We'll look at that here in a few minutes. Solomon would say in Lamentation 3 and verse number 23, he says that his mercies are new every morning. We sing that song. Great is thy faithfulness. This mercy teaches us to grow and helps us to grow in the Lord. In Micah 7 and verse number 18, the Lord delights in mercy. God's mercy, his kindness, his pity, his patience with us causes us to be grateful. It should. Thus causing us to grow in appreciation. It should. Toward him and also toward others. Friends, when we take on the name of Christ, we tell others that we have mercy in our hearts as well. But I want us to turn to Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 78. This is a very obscure verse. And the reason why I say this, because as I was looking at this particular passage, it seems as if it's kind of tucked away in there somewhere. God is merciful under the old covenant, yet we found out this morning that Jesus Christ, he himself is covered with grace and covered with truth. He is the actual grace. He is the ultimate truth. But here in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 78, here we see that Jesus himself is the epitome of mercy. Notice what your Bible there says. He says, through the tender mercies of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. Here it's talking about Zacharias' prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. Here this verse is tucked away for us. Jesus is not only grace. Jesus is not only truth. But Jesus is mercy. He's the mercy of God. There's a passage in the Old Covenant that teaches us that God led the children of Israel through the wilderness by his mercy. Isn't it ironic that Jesus leads us all the way back home to God? And he's the mercy of God. Friends, do you think that we can lead people to Christ by being merciful? I venture to say yes. I believe that it's one of the hardest attributes to not only take in, not only apply to our lives, but here it is, but master. The God that we serve, the God of heaven, according to Romans 9 and verse 15 through 18, he says there, as Paul speaks by inspiration, God can show mercy upon whomever he wants to. You remember he brought in the Gentiles and how the Gentiles were going to have a light that was going to be cast upon them in the person of Jesus Christ, according to Isaiah 42 and also Isaiah chapter 9. We think about this man, Jesus Christ. He was going to be leading people to God. He was going to be the mercy of God. And friends, we have Jesus Christ living in us by faith. We ought to be leading people back to God. It is through the mercy shown by God that we're thankful and hopeful and joyful to serve him. Why? This is why God is slow to anger, Nehemiah 9 and verse 17. God is slow in his anger. He is very merciful. He desires to let people off. I'm reminded of what he told Israel. My arms are outstretched. All the time God was trying to put them in a position that he could let them off, but they didn't want to be let off. Sometimes we go out of our way in the world, not necessarily in the church, but in the world, we go out of our way to try to put people in a position that we can punish them. No, anything, we ought to be looking for reasons to let people off. Why? Because it's beneficial. We'll talk about that here in a second. In Psalm 41 and verse number 4, he is the one who heals the soul that sins against him. How? Through that same mercy. In Psalm 86 and verse number 3, he is the one that hears us cry daily for that mercy. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 25 and I'll meet you there in a second. We cry out to God because his word says that he is abundant and rich in mercy. Ephesians 2 and verse 4, 1 Peter 1 and verse number 3, Psalm 103 and verse number 8. But in Psalm 25, this passage here just allowed me to look at my own life, and it ought to allow you to look at yours as well. Because in the second point, I want us to notice that being receivers of the mercy of God, it should foster growth within us. It should cause us to have an attitude like the psalmist said in Psalm 6 and verse number 2, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak, O Lord. Heal me. Heal my weak bones. Yet, in Psalm 25, it's the faithful who plead with God, who seek the paths of God, who understand their position in life. Notice verse number 7, verse 10, and verse 16. Here we notice the Psalm of David as he is pleading for forgiveness. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness sake, O Lord. Now notice this, friends. We understand that when we sin against God, we deserve death. But because of the mercy of God, because of Jesus Christ, because of the plan of God, he desires to let us go. He desires to set us free. Drop down to verse number 10. Notice what the Bible there says. He says, all thy paths, or all the paths of the Lord, are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. What does this teach us? But then if this teaches us that God's inspired word, they are saturated with mercy. They are the documents and instructions that teach us and instruct us and guide us back to God. Why? Because God himself is the epitome of mercy. It's as if God takes mercy and he sprinkle it on the ground and say, follow that back to me. Follow that back to me. Wow. I don't know about y'all, but there's just some things in this book that just make me say, wow. And I think about how God shows his mercy on us. We ought to demonstrate that same mercy. Drop down to verse 16. Hear the psalmist say, turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. There's that word again. I'm troubled. I'm suffering down here because of my sin. Because of the struggles and the trials that I have in this life. Have mercy upon me. We trust in his mercy, Psalm 13 and verse number 5. We understand that God gives mercy to those who keep his covenant and love him, Nehemiah 1 and verse 5. But we ought to seek to love mercy. Micah 6, verse 8. We ought to go out of our way to love what God loves. God loves mercy. We ought to love mercy as well. Notice Proverbs 11 and verse number 7. In Proverbs 11 and verse number 7, I believe that these are good thoughts for those who we work with, who may be non-Christians, who want to get back at the employer. Who want to get back at a fellow employee, who wants to get back or have vengeance on someone who has done them wrong in the world. We ought to take passages to them and show them that, you know what, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. God desires all men to be saved. God wants people to come back to him. He doesn't want you to take vengeance. But notice in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 17, notice what your Bible says. I probably said verse 7, I meant 17. Notice, the merciful man does good for his own soul. Hold on. Hold on, friends. Are you telling me that when I have mercy in my heart and I demonstrate it in my action, that I benefit from it? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I benefit. It's ironic that we benefit from the forgiveness of sins when I actively take a part in asking God to forgive me for my sins. If I walk in the light as He is in the light, I have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all of my sin. Verse number 9, if I confess my sin, here I am actively involved in my own salvation. Meaning that I am actively involved and I take benefit when I'm merciful. When I show mercy to my fellow man, to my children, when they show mercy unto me, then they benefit from it just like I benefit from it. What does it matter if I let someone off? But you don't understand, Brother Bonner. If I let them off, then it's going to look like they're getting over on me. So what? So what? Jesus on the cross didn't say a mumbling word. It looked like Satan was winning. It looked like the Romans got over on him. It looked like the Jews got over on him. He didn't say a mumbling word until he had to. And it wasn't against them. The Bible teaches us when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. Notice the end of that verse. But he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. Friends, the Bible is right. And it's going to be right because God is right. It is all right to let people off. It is all right to clear the debt. It is all right to say, you know, you did me like this, but I'm going to be merciful and I'm going to let you off. I'm going to let you off. You know what that requires? Growth. That requires growth. Wow. This is only possible because the God of heaven is a merciful God. Luke 6:36. Therefore, to be merciful will require this attitude. Go to Luke 18 and look at verse number 13. It's a very familiar passage to those of us who are members of the Lord's church. Remember the publican and the sinner and what the sinner said. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. Friends, this is an attitude. Being a recipient of mercy fosters growth. Why? Because we are the recipients of the greater mercy. I don't care what anybody has done to you on the face of this earth. You could never do it. No one could ever do anything to you than what you have done to God. Never. Hence the reason that when someone asks us for forgiveness, we set them free. Because that's what God does for us. He sets us free. So with that being said, how? Go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, we always talk about the blood of Christ, and rightfully so. The instructions of Christ, and rightfully so. The church of Christ, and rightfully so. But friends, we cannot negate nor divorce ourselves from this passage. In Titus chapter 3, starting at verse number 3, there the Bible teaches us, for we ourselves were once foolish, Paul is saying this by inspiration, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and eating, even hating one another. Notice what Paul says. He said, we have done this. But verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, Brother Brian, which we have done, but according to his what? According to his mercy. According to his kindness. According to God's ability and willingness to let us off. Wow. I am so thankful that God let me off. Aren't you thankful that God let you off? If God let us off, can we let other people off? Can we grow to a point? Can we mature to a point? It makes no sense at all when a person is in the Lord 50 years and can't let folk off. You ought to learn to grow, to let folk off. And here, this growth process is powerful, and God demonstrates it through Jesus Christ. Turn to Hebrews chapter 8 and look at verse number 12. I told you I had a lot of passages tonight. Oh, yeah, we're eating tonight. We're feasting. We didn't come here for a little snack. We come here for a full course meal. I'm about to serve dessert right now. Look at verse 12. Y'all smile. At least you came back tonight. At least give me a little smile. Notice what he says here. He says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deed. What? I will remember it no more. God, what does it mean for you to be merciful? To put people in a position where I will remember their sin no more. Wow. That's our God. Because God let us off from sin through the blood of his son, through the obedience of the gospel, through the love of truth, because of his mercy, we ought to be able to forgive people of tremendous debts. There's no way that we could have paid God back. As a matter of fact, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is our mercy. Leave you with one point. God's mercy must be demonstrated and illustrated. Look at Matthew chapter 18. I leave you with this illustration. And friends, this requires maturity. This requires growth. In Matthew chapter 18, let's start at verse 21. We have a little time. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? He said, up to seven times. Jesus said unto him, I do not say unto you to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay his master, commanded that he to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. Be merciful unto me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet, begged him, saying, have mercy on me. Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not. But he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I have pity on you? His master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart do not forgive his brother his trespass. I leave you with that illustration for this purpose. Growing in Christ requires us understanding God's mercy upon us, His grace on us. And when we understand or begin to mature in those areas, we then can have grace upon others and mercy upon others. It's a beautiful thing to be merciful. That doesn't mean that we don't administer discipline, but even in that, we don't have to go overboard with it. Amen. We don't have to break someone's spirit. We don't have to bend them all the way over to the point that they themselves don't want to see God at all. God doesn't break us. We shouldn't break others. God forgives us. We ought to forgive others. It doesn't matter how great the debt is or how small the debt is. If there's a debt, let it go. And mature past the point that we hold anything against anybody and allow God to get the glory in our lives. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider these thoughts because God has extended mercy to every single person. Here it is again, Brother Popejoy. Every single person has not submitted to the mercy of God. If you're a child of God, if you're not a child of God, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will give you the crown of life. But if you're a child of God and you haven't been merciful, as a matter of fact, you look for opportunities to do people in. God says, I don't even do that. I'm trying to find ways to get them off. Shouldn't we be like God? As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.